Family farming in crisis in Washington State. I'm focusing on this more and more in the advocacy work that I do with Save Family Farming, Whatcom Family Farmers here locally. And so many pressures. You know, we've been talking about family farms that are just can't make it anymore. They're going out of business. And lots of different reasons, factors, facets to what is causing that to occur. Family farms that just can't make it anymore. Get big or get out. And even the big guys are struggling here in this state. Of course, you know from listening to this program that one of the big pressures is labor and the cost of doing business. Welcome to the Farming Show this morning. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. Glad to have you with us on your Saturday morning to get caught up on farming issues here on the Farming Show. As we do, labor, one of the big issues, and you know, there are other things, just the access to people. And, you know, having enough people to get the work done is one of the challenges. But then, you know, pay is already quite high. Minimum wage is high here. The AWER now, which is in some ways a de facto even higher minimum wage, not just for guest workers that we've talked about here on this program, but really for a lot of workers in particularly ag heavy areas of the state, in eastern Washington in particular, that's almost $20 an hour. Now, and you know, folks have viewed that as a win for workers, but it's a burden for farmers. And then the issue that I want to tackle and get back to that we've talked a lot about here on this program is overtime and the new restriction that Washington has placed on workers and farms, saying that workers cannot work over 40 hours a week. That's where the threshold is down to now here in Washington. Agricultural workers cannot work more than 40 hours a week without being paid time and a half, which is something that many farms cannot afford. So it's resulting in fewer hours for farm workers. This is the phenomenon. This is what has been happening. And this is one thing that's pushing, you know, we talked with April Clayton of up in Arondo. That's what is one of the big factors that forced them out of business as a small family organic orchard. And the story is repeated far too often. Well, there have been attempts for relief for this, and there are some encouraging signs, I'm happy to report. Granted, not anything close to what we would like to see. But joining me right now on the program is the state senator, and it's an honor to have him with us here, the state senator who championed what has been the biggest potential opportunity for relief, not only for farms and farmers, but for farm workers who are being hurt by this, like we just talked about. State Senator Curtis King of the 13th District, he was the prime sponsor of this bill that we've talked a lot about. To bring seasonality, as it's called, a set time where things are busier on the farm. A farm could choose the time frame that this would occur for 12 weeks when workers would not be subject to that restriction and would be allowed to pick up more hours and make more money without having, you know, the farm be penalized for that with higher wages even yet than they're already paying. Senator King, thanks for being here. This plan now, it got two hearings, which was unusual last year and this year. People still talking about this idea, even though technically your bill is dead. How are you feeling about this issue now after the battles that have really been fought over this? And from some perspectives, to no avail, even though I think there are signs for hope. What's your mindset now on this important issue?
Well, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be with you this morning. So, you know, there were signs. I would tell you that the hearing, I asked the chair, because I'm the ranking member on Labor and Commerce, and I asked the chair to hear the bill again. She said, yes, I'll hear the bill, but I'm not moving it. I mean, that was her commitment. So we did hear the bill, and we had a very nice young lady come that spoke to us when we had the hearing, and in tears told us about them closing their farm, shutting it down, and that the number of farm workers that had been with them, I think, for generations, that they are going to have to let go, that will no longer be working there. And the tragedy of that, because they were basically families. They had been with them so long, they felt like they were part of their family. But we've created this system that small farms are just going out of business because of the burden that we've put on them. And overtime is absolutely one of the biggest. We've tried to get seasonality in. We did it at a level where it was 12 weeks, 50 hours a week before you had to pay overtime. And that's too big a burden. Although I would tell you, I believe every other state that has ag overtime has a seasonality. Yep. New York is 60 hours, I believe. Oh, I know it's 60 hours, and I believe it's for 15 weeks. We tried to just get something, you know, in the system, and they won't even consider that. Now, after they heard this young lady, then as you say, Senator Kaiser started to think about that we're losing these farms. I believe we lost 728 family farms last year, and we're going to be that many or more this year. I can almost guarantee you that. And she says, well, we can't, I don't want to lose our family farms. And so Senator Saldana, who in my opinion is the prime instigator of the ag overtime along with everybody else, came up with this. Well, we're gonna put forth $250,000. If you meet this criteria, the farm can apply for part of that, up to $20,000, to help pay for overtime. Well, $250,000 is like 14 farmers, family farms that could apply for this fund if you meet the criteria. I mean, it's like a drop in the bucket is all it is, to try and say, oh, look at what we tried to do. And I mean, the ramifications of this ag overtime is just phenomenal. I mean, so we had a bill, again, Senator Saldana brought up a bill about we need to collect data on the H-2A workers. And when she spoke to it on the floor, and it's several hundred thousand dollars to collect this data, and ESD said, okay, well, we'll collect the data, but we don't need it. We don't want it. We can't use it. So who's going to use it? Nobody could tell me. But she said, oh, we need this data so we can see what's happening out there. We need to understand. One of the things she said on the floor was, we need to understand why there aren't more hours for our farm workers. And that just sent me over the edge. And when it was my turn to talk, I said, we all know why the hours aren't there. It's because of overtime. We've told you that from when you started this process.
Exactly right. I mean, a lot of this unfolded just as predicted. And, you know, there were naysayers at the time who said, oh, you know, it's just the typical pushback from, quote unquote, from industry. Right. Honestly, what I've been focused on here, Senator King, and State Senator Curtis King is our guest right now on the Farming Show. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI, talking about this issue of agricultural overtime and what it really means. I've been focused on, this is harmful to farming, but it's also harmful to the farm worker, who that is the person, that is the community this was supposed to help. And it seems that some people just are so mathematically challenged that they're not able to see that when someone doesn't have the bottom line to be able to stay in the black and pay overtime, they have two options. Either they pay the overtime and go out of business, which, as you're talking about, how many farms going out of business? You're talking about April Clayton testifying in that hearing. We had her on the program here talking about that heartbreak of them having to shut down. It's a heartbreaking story. Those folks are losing jobs then. How many workers lose jobs in that scenario? Okay, or the other option is what we're seeing happening, people's hours being limited so the farm is able to stay in the black. And each worker essentially is getting a smaller piece of the pie, which it's mind-boggling to me, Senator King, when we hear these activists talking about, you know, what's best for the worker, yet not listening to the very workers saying, this isn't working for us. It's clearly a political play. And I think that goes to what you're talking about with this issue with ESD needing to collect more info that they don't even need. There's a bigger political game going on here. And I've said it before, and some people thought I was a little bit over the top, but I think it is true that the farm worker, the people who farmers actually do care about as much as the activists say they don't, the farm worker is being used as a pawn in a bigger game here, and it's heartbreaking to watch it unfold.
Well, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, you have farm workers that are used to working 50, 60 hours a week. And if you think about that, if they're making $20 an hour, you know, at even at 50, you know, you're making $1,000 a week.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden you're only working 40, and now it goes to $800 a week. I mean, how are you going to make up that $200?
Well, you're going to get another job.
Well, this is the problem. We're forcing them, I believe, we're forcing them to look outside of farming.
Yep.
We suggested at one time that there in areas around the state that there be a clearinghouse. If this is what we're going to do, where a farm worker could call in and say, hey, I did my 40 hours at this farm. I want to work 20 more. And they could be sent to another farm to work another 20 hours or whatever hours they wanted to work, or they could break it up into 30 and 30. I mean, there are ways to coordinate this. I was told by Al and I that was a restraint of trade, that we couldn't do that kind of a thing. And I'm going, so, I mean, it's like, give me a break.
Can't think win about, for losing. I mean, no,
think about H-2A workers.
Yeah.
H-2A workers come into this country for one thing. That's to work.
Yep.
And now we're saying to them, well, you can only work 40 hours a week because I cannot afford to pay you $30 an hour or $32 an hour to do the work that you do. So what does this mean to them? I mean, they're used to working 60 hours a week. They want to work. They want to work 7 days a week because they want to make money so that they can send it back to their families when they go back. And that's what they live on all year long in whatever country they came from. But no, we're saying 40 hours a week, and that's what they're going to get. And so then how many H-2A workers are going to want to come to the state of Washington when there are other states where they can work in that don't have ag overtime, that they can work all the hours they want? They don't want to be sitting around all weekend long waiting for Monday to come so that they can go put in their 40 hours. I mean, the whole thing is just unbelievable what we have done to the agricultural community. And I would tell you, over the last 5 years, it's been nonstop going after the farming community in this state. And I don't see it slowing down. That's what concerns me. Because we're going to end up with mega farming corporations providing all of us the things that we want, the fruits and vegetables that we want to partake of.
Well, and honestly, there probably will be just some things that we don't grow, at least not as much anymore, because they're too labor intensive because of all of this pressure. I mean, there are certain crops that are going to fade away. Some of that stuff has already started to happen. And what you're talking about, Senator King, is exactly why I'm saying family farming is in crisis here in Washington State. I recognize that Tom Vilsack, Agriculture Secretary, said that at the federal level recently in his comments about the new ag census numbers. I'd say it's that times another factor of of intensity here in Washington. It is it's that much worse here, as you're explaining. And again, all these things that we're talking about, particularly with labor, are all done under the guise of trying to help workers, yet it's not helping workers, as you've described, as we've talked about here. One of the signs that I see, at least the conversation is beginning to change, and you mentioned this earlier, is Senator Kaiser was one of the stalwarts against this whole idea. It remains against this whole idea of allowing flexibility for workers to be able to work more hours at certain times of the year, as you had proposed with your bill 5476, Senate Bill 5476, which now is entirely dead, and I hope, you know, new efforts come up and move forward to bring some kind of relief in some way, shape, or form for farmers and farm workers on this. But Senator Kaiser, your colleague on that labor committee in the state Senate, is dead set against this. Clearly, her background is labor. The labor movement, you know, a 40-hour work week is a basic tenet to them. It's darn near a religion, from my perspective on it. Facts be damned. Don't listen to what this is actually doing to people. It has to be. It's a matter of human rights. Never mind if people are making less money because of it. So she has this background. But she had been so opposed to any of this, and last session, not this past one, but the year before, in 23, had, you know, basically suggested and alluded to this belief that farm workers had been misinformed, and that's why they didn't understand about overtime and how it was working. Of course, there was blowback from that. Now she is admitting in a piece by Crosscut a little bit earlier this year, right after some of these meetings, she said there is a legitimate concern about the economic viability of the state's agricultural industry, particularly small family farms. Quote, "We need to address that," she said. "I see that as progress, that she's at least acknowledging that there is a problem, and folks of her bent are seeing that there is an issue here." But then she continues, she says, "But we're not going to do it on the back of farm workers." I don't know about you, Senator King, but I reacted to that saying, you don't want to do it on the backs of the farm workers, yet you won't listen to what the farm workers themselves want, what they're rallying for.
Yep, there were rallies around the state, particularly on the east side of the state. I mean, they had upwards of 500 farm workers at some rallies. I mean, you know, they want to work, and we won't let them, because the family farm cannot afford to pay time and a half. It's as simple as that. And they don't want to recognize that fact. And, you know, part of their answer was, well, let's let everybody else in the state through the use of taxation. We'll use the tax money to help subsidize our family farms to pay the overtime. I don't think that's the answer either. We have gone after ag. It started with going after the dairies and our not so Supreme Court and the ruling they made on dairies, and the audacity for them to say that the not so Supreme Court to say that those dairies, even though they did exactly what the law said, had to go back for 3 years and pay retroactive overtime to anybody that worked over 40 hours a week. And I would tell you, we had hearings that year, and dairy after dairy came to us and said, you do this to us and we will be out of business.
Yep.
And one dairy, as I recall, had 300 employees. And the gentleman that came and testified was a Hispanic gentleman. He said, I've worked at this dairy in high school. I worked at this dairy and I started to go to WSU because of the money I made at that dairy, helped me pay for my education. I worked there during the summer to pay for my formal education at WSU. I've graduated. I am now the HR director for that very same dairy. We have 300 employees. We cannot afford to pay 3 years of retroactive overtime. And if you force this on us, we will be out of business and those 300 employees will not have a job. Everybody on the committee heard that.
Yep, that's exactly right.
They didn't care.
That was Miguel Navarrete, who I've had on my podcast talking about that and sharing his story. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what he said. And who is going to start paying attention to what the workers themselves actually have to say and want versus what a political movement is going to tell workers what they think is best for them rather than listening. State Senator Curtis King with us on the Farming Show this morning. Senator, we're just have less than 30 seconds left. What's the political future for this? Is this going to continue to be an issue, or am I off base in feeling any level of optimism here?
Well, I'm up for re-election, and they're playing games with that, but that's a whole different story. But if I'm back, I can guarantee you that bill will be dropped again, and we will make concerted efforts that it gets heard and see whether we can have some progress with it. Like I say, every other state that has ag overtime has seasonality much beyond where we wanted to take, yet we're still getting pushback. It's amazing. So,
State Senator Curtis King, we really appreciate you taking the time to check in with us here this morning on the Farming Show. And more importantly, we appreciate the good work that you've been doing, listening to farmers and listening to farm workers when many don't seem to want to do that or have the courage to do that when the answers aren't easy in Olympia. So we appreciate your great work on that. And we hope you have a great Saturday. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good talking with you.